I'm glad that you've chosen to listen to our messages from the Presbyterian Church of Barnet. I'm Howard Gaston, the pastor, and I believe that God's Spirit will speak to you during this time.
The book of Exodus, and as I was talking about it last week, throughout the next coming Sundays, we'll be looking at the Exodus story and different parts of it and different dynamics and connecting it with our journey through the time of Lent. So this today is from Exodus chapter 14, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn back and camp in front of Pi-Hahiroth, between Megiddo and the Red Sea, near Baal Zephon. The king will think that the Israelites are wandering around in the country and are closed in by the desert. I will make him stubborn, and he will pursue you, and my victory over the king and his army will bring me honor. Then the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." The Israelites did as they were told. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had escaped, he and his officials changed their minds and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites escape, and we have lost them as our slaves." The king got in his war chariot and his army ready. He set out with all his chariots, including 600 of the finest, commanded by their officers. The Lord made the king stubborn, and he pursued the Israelites, who were leaving triumphantly. The Egyptian army, with all the horses, chariots, and drivers, pursued them and caught up with them where they were camped at the Red Sea. Then the Israelites saw the king and his army marching against them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord for help. They said to Moses, "Weren't there any graves in Egypt? Did you have to bring us out here in the desert to die? Look what you have done and by bringing us out of Egypt. Didn't we tell you before we left that this would happen? We told you to leave us alone and let us go on being slaves for the Egyptians. It would be better to be slaves there than to die here in the desert." Moses answered, "Don't be afraid. Stand your ground, and you will see what the Lord will do to save you today. You will never see these Egyptians again. The Lord will fight for you, and all you have to do is keep still." Amen. Well, the story of the Exodus is very familiar to us all. We've seen it on TV, in the movies. We've heard about it over and over again. But it is still a very powerful story about Moses and the Israelites and how they gained their freedom from the Egyptians, from their sense of slavery. And here in this story, we have to kind of go back a few steps and remember that the Israelites, again, were these slaves, and there were these seven plagues that affected the Egyptians that let them free. And so the kind of the deal that Moses had with Pharaoh wasn't that he was going to let the people free. The deal that Moses made with Pharaoh was, "Let us go out into the desert so that we might make a sacrifice and worship our God." That's what Moses told Pharaoh that they were going to do. Now, you got to admit, Pharaoh had to be a little suspicious that everybody went out to the desert to worship God. And they took their gold and their silver and all those, and took all their possessions. It didn't take too long for Pharaoh and his officials to realize they weren't coming back. They weren't going out for a Sunday worship and coming back in the evening. They were gone. And so we have this story in this part where Israelites are wandering around, already starting to wander around, trying to confuse Pharaoh a little bit. But Pharaoh comes out with all of his armies ready to pursue the Israelites to either kill them or bring them back. And so for some reason, the Lord says, "All right, I want you to camp in this place next to the Red Sea." Now, I don't know exactly the whole landscape of that situation, But I'm assuming that there wasn't much exits. There was really only one way in and one way out, and Pharaoh was coming that way. And you kind of get that picture. Now, we all are used to the Cecil DeMille kind of picture and the event that we see and remember from TVs, the movies. But I love the way the scripture here is so honest, so down to earth. Because here are the Israelites, and there's thousands of them, and they're on the shore of the Red Sea. They look at the horizon, and they see what I would imagine a dust ball over the horizon because of all the horses and chariots and all the men that are coming after them. And they look at Moses, and they, to me, I think they'd say the most Jewish thing in the world. What, there wasn't enough graves in Egypt? You had to bring us out here? I mean, I can see Bernie Sanders saying that. Wow, yeah, go ahead. And it's so down to earth. They're like, you know, instead of just saying, we're all going to die, they make this sarcastic comment to their leader. But imagine for yourself how you would have felt standing there having this sense, all right, we're free. We don't have to be slaves anymore. We're going to go to a new place. And, you know, within less, I don't know what the time span was this, but it wasn't very long. You're facing death. You're standing there on the shore, and the only way out is being blocked by your enemy. In front of you is your enemy. Behind you is this ocean that you can't swim across. You don't have any boats. You are at a hopeless point. There's that sense that there's nothing can happen. And then as you're standing there watching this cloud of dust get closer and closer to you, you begin to hear water move. And you turn around and there's this canyon of water in front of you. And your leader says, go this way. So there you are. You are at this pinnacle point. Do I take my chances with Pharaoh and his army? Do I take my chances with this canyon of water? What's better? To die instantly by sword or to drown to death? All of us kind of stand at that point one time or another in our lives. Derek shared that, you know, working in a business, doing that, and knowing that he needed to move forward. But yet, there was that step. All of us stand at that time of that uncertainty, just like the Israelites did. Even in our spiritual lives, we wonder, what can we do? What can we do next? Is it really worth taking that step? Because we all live with doubt, struggles, disappointments. And unfortunately, we become used to that pain. That pain becomes just part of life. That's just the way life is. It's, you know, it's miserable. I don't like it. I don't like my situation. I don't like my job. I don't like the relationships. I don't like the you know. All of us live in some level of pain, and we have all come to the point of tolerating it. And then when the opportunity comes to leave that pain, that opportunity looks more painful than the pain that we've gotten used to. And like the Israelites, you know, yelling at Moses, we've been better off if we stayed in Egypt. Really? You were making bricks out of dirt, and you want to come back to that? Because they knew that pain. They had been become tolerant of that pain. This new pain, this new uncertainty ahead of them was way too much for them. I liked one time when I was visiting somebody who had surgery and actually was
joint replacement surgery. And they were talking, and he was kind of complaining because he was experiencing pain, and the person said, yeah, but this is now healing pain. And I think all of us encounter those times where we live in this destructive pain of our lives, and we become comfortable with it. And the next phase of our life can be another painful situation, but it's a healing painful situation. And that's where Israel was standing, between the two pains. One, they were certain about. They knew what it was like to be a slave. They knew what it was like to be under Pharaoh's rule. They knew the possibility of, with this army coming, that they may not survive. They knew that pain, and they were used to that pain. The new pain was crossing that Red Sea with that canyon of water and that uncertainty of taking that step. And as Derek reminded us, for us to take that step into uncertainty means two things about trust. One, we've got to trust God. I love what Moses tells the people, and then in turn, God even tells the people. He looks at the situation, and he looks at the people, and he says, all you have to do is be still. All you have to do is do nothing. Trust that God will. That's a huge step of uncertainty for us sometimes, because we live a life where we want to do everything and have our things all figured out. And then Moses says, God will fight for you. All you got to do is be still. And the Lord then says, tell the people, go forward. Go forward into that uncertain canyon. Now, we don't like uncertainty. We could spend a lot of time on that. We like things certain. We like things predictable. You know, when we get up, we have a routine, or at least I do. I don't know about you, but I have a routine. I get up, pick up the clothes that are on by the floor on the bed, put them on, go to the bathroom, go downstairs, take 6 scoops of coffee beans into the grinder, grind them, put it in the coffee maker, get upset if somebody happens to hit the button on the coffee maker and the water's not ready. But I have a routine. And if you messed up that, you know, one of the worst things is if I don't have coffee, that just ruins the morning. You just don't know what to do. And we like that predictability. We don't like that sense of uncertainty about the morning or any type of part of our lives. And yet, when our lives become so predictable, we complain because we're bored. A marriage that becomes predictable loses its spark. Side note, Valentine's Day is coming up this weekend. A lot of you are going to do the predictable thing, and you're going to get the predictable result. And some of you are comfortable with that pain. Challenge you to take a step into the uncertain and do something different and see what happens. Maybe a new pain, but it'll be a healing pain, okay? So here we are. You know, we are at that crux in our lives, and we think that uncertainty and the unpredictability and that sense of taking that step of trust is too much. And it's not really what God wants, you know, in our lives. God doesn't want us to live a life of uncertainty. And yet Israel took that step across the Red Sea. And when they crossed that Red Sea, saw that canyon coming down upon the Egyptians, we have Moses singing a psalm, Miriam, his wife, she's singing, people are dancing, they're celebrating. And it's a new pain, a new journey for them, a new uncertainty. And yet it is also where God has called them.
So as we begin this journey for ourselves today, but even in our own lives, that sense of uncertainty can be seen as God's call for you to trust Him, to take that step, to follow Him into that wilderness, not sure where it leads you, but knowing that God is leading you through that. And we'll hear about it a little bit later, but one of the great pictures about the Israelites when they go through the wilderness is that God led them. During the day, it was a cloud, and they followed this cloud. At night, it was a flame of some sort that they followed. You know, that takes a lot of trust to follow a cloud in your life, to follow a flame. But they did. And they became the nation and the people of God. What is that healing pain you need to experience? What is that step of uncertainty that you need to take in the Lord? I pray you reflect on that. Think about that during this time of Lent. Let's pray. God, we come before you, and we know that we certainly like things organized and predictable and the way they are supposed to happen, even if it means we are unhappy, disillusioned, or frustrated, or in pain. So, Lord, we pray that you will open our hearts to understand the uncertainty that is a blessing, the uncertainty that leads us into a wilderness that requires us to trust you each and every day. And Lord, we continue in that journey even as we participate in this communion time, as we take this bread and this cup, as we remember that Jesus Christ called us to do this when we come together, to remember his death and his resurrection, to remember his body being broken and his blood being shed for us, so that we could step and trust you for our salvation, for our new life in Christ, for this continual journey that we take in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we pray for this time as we share this meal together, as we share this time with you and with each other. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, I hope these messages have been a blessing to you for your life. And if you need any more assistance, be sure to contact the Presbyterian Church of Barnet in Vermont. Thank you.